I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Psalms. This is one that you'll recommend. You'll remember, I should say. It's Psalm 23. That's my text that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Psalm 23. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised that quite a few of you could say it by memory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A number of years ago, I heard the story of a group of people meeting together, sort of a Kaylee type thing, they were singing different songs and having a good time together. I don't know where it took place, but somebody said that there was a famous person in the audience, and he was a public speaker and quite an orator. And so they asked him if he'd come up and recite the 23rd Psalm. And so He came up, and he did a beautiful job. But he saw a man in the back of the church, not the church, but the building, and he asked that man if he'd come up. He said he's an old friend of mine and a man of God. He said, would you come up and say the 23rd Psalm? So the gentleman came up, and he was an older person, and he said the 23rd Psalm, but he said it entirely differently. While they had clapped for the orator and the public speaker, when this man finished saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, there was a hush over the crowd. And there were a few tears. And a little boy said to his father, Dad, what was the difference between the public speaker and that elderly gentleman? And he said, well, I'm not sure. And then the man who was the public speaker came up and said this. He said, you see the difference in the response to my saying the 23rd Psalm and this gentleman saying it was that I knew the Psalm, but he knew the shepherd. And very true. And that's the theme today. My subject today is rest, refreshment, and restoration. Now, I'm not going to preach to you today about how bad you are, about gossiping, not praying enough, not witnessing enough, not giving enough, I'm not going to do that. That's not my job. I came today to encourage you. And the way I'm going to try to encourage you is by going through these wonderful verses in the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now. And is the 23rd Psalm going to come up on here? Do you have that? Yes, it is. Let's say this together, please. It's just a short psalm. It's only got six verses, and I'm going to ask you to join me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word today. We pray that our hearts and minds might be open to receive your truth. And Lord, may this be a day of encouragement and building up and lifting up. In Jesus' dear name, amen. Please be seated. When people are asked what is their favorite or best-known Bible passage, the 23rd Psalm surely comes to the mind of most people. There are some other wonderful passages, of course, such as John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith. But the 23rd Psalm is usually given as the most familiar of all Bible chapters for most Christians and also for non-Christians. Unfortunately, though, sometimes it leads to a loss of, in other words, familiarity, knowing something so well, it leads to a familiarity that leads to a loss of the keen edge of appreciation And such wonderful passages are sometimes taken for granted. A pastor who had served for 40 years once said these words, "I have heard hundreds of people quote from the first chapter, the first verse of Psalm 23, 'The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.' When as their pastor," he said, "I know that the verse had almost no application in their daily experience. They could quote the words, 'I shall not want,' but I knew their life was a wilderness of want." They did have all kinds of want, even though they would say, and by memory, "I shall not want." And sometimes when we quote this from this verse, if we were honest, we would say this: "The Lord is my Savior, and I'm glad He is." But we'd be missing the fact that there's a vast difference between having Jesus as Savior and as Shepherd. Let me say that again. There's a vast difference between having Jesus as Savior and Shepherd. And that's what the message is all about today. That's what this psalm is all about. It's about having Jesus not only as your Savior, as wonderful as that is, but also having Him as your Shepherd. And the New Testament describes Jesus as exercising a threefold shepherd ministry. In 1 John chapter 1, or rather in John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 11, we see Him as the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, we see Him as the great shepherd and His resurrection. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, we see Him as the chief shepherd. So there's a progression here. So then the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and then, of course, comes the chief shepherd. Someone has said, Psalm 23 is the highest, wildest, widest, most glorious experience into which it is possible for God to lead a saint this side of heaven. I'm going to read that again. It's not mine. It's some man of God said this. Psalm 23 is the highest, widest, most glorious experience into which it's possible for God to lead a saint this side of heaven. So today, we're going to study this wonderful gem of God's precious word together. And this morning, we're going to learn of three great promises. They are promises for you and for me, because God knows the best what we need. Three great promises. Number one, God offers His children rest. R-E-S-T. And I take that from this part of the psalm. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And then I'm adding, therefore I shall not want for rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, therefore I shall not want. You and I live in a day of supreme weariness. I can't tell you how many people in the last year have said that they're just plain tired. And I'm talking not about young people, but I'm talking about middle-aged people and older people as well. I sometimes will say to people, at my age, I have a right to be tired. I've earned it. But then they tell me, they say back in their maybe 40s and 50s, they're saying, well, you don't have to get old to be tired, because we live in a tired world. It's a day of extreme weariness. Folks are tired in their minds and their bodies and their hearts and their nerves. The question is, why? Why are we so very, very tired? There is a constant, careless whirl of activity going on around us. There's a thousand strange eddies in our lives. You can get tired just watching television. When you see the things that are going on, for example, the massacres, the innocent people being killed, it just wears you out. As a matter of fact, a number of years ago when I was in Bedford doing a radio program, there's a gentleman there who does a lot of the advertising, and he still does, but he told me this. He was recording my little show, just a minute, and this is what he said. He said, I don't listen to the news anymore. And he worked at a radio station. I don't listen to the news anymore. I can't stand it. It wears me out just thinking about it. Joy and sorrow, laughter and tears, hate and love, fear and courage. Unexpected events crisscrossing our lives wears us out. And all seem engaged in head-on collisions. I'll just mention a few of them. Syria. Great Britain. And the Brexit situation. All these things that are going on, they just make your head whirl. And you wonder, how can this carry on? The United States and the controversies over Mr. Trump and the fights going on between the Democrats and the Republicans. Of course, all of these things make me tired, make us tired. There seems to be little or no time for rest. You know, our forefathers took months to go a few miles. Now, we can't wait for a revolving door. Do we still have revolving doors? I think we have a few around. But you know something? People can't stand, so they have to get in revolving doors. And I heard recently of a woman who was catapulted out of the door by another woman who was in a hurry. So she just flew out the door. Just into the situation walks the dear Lord Jesus. And others, and he offers rather himself as to us as a shepherd. To this weary world where we're tired so much of the time, Jesus comes and he offers to us himself as a shepherd who is able to lead us to quiet places. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want for rest. Remember, there is no rest, though, without peace. The peace of God comes twice in the Bible, at least. Remember, there is no rest without peace. There's peace with God. That's when you come to know Christ as Savior. I came to know the Lord Jesus when I was 17 years old. I am so glad. I wish I'd heard the gospel clearly earlier. I would have accepted Christ when I was a younger person. But people faithfully gave me the gospel at the age of 17, and I responded. And what happened then was I received the peace with God. That's salvation. And I ask you today, do you have the peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, you can. It doesn't depend upon whether you're baptized, sprinkled, confirmed, whether you go to church regularly or not. If you will invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, a wonderful, wonderful thing will happen to you. It happened to me, and that is you receive peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, after there is peace with God, there comes the peace of God. That's after coming to know him, especially knowing him as your shepherd, not just your Savior. Listen to this wonderful passage, which I've shared with so many people and has been a blessing to me. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, and many of you could quote this right along with me without your Bible. Be anxious or worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And now here's the key. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me read that one more time. Be anxious or worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, do you know that our Heavenly Father is so kind and so loving and so considerate and so gentle that he would never tell you or me to do something that was impossible to do? So when he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, you can be sure, you can be guaranteed that that is possible for every single one of us. We do not have to worry. We don't have to be filled with anxiety. And then what happens when this takes place in our lives? We read, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's what's behind this wonderful statement that the Lord has written for us. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want for rest. Because The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, to a poor, tired, weary, and hungry sheep, how we need to know that Jesus is able and He is sufficient. He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. If you have invited Christ into your life, and I shall not want for rest. He knows just exactly what you and I need. That's a very comforting thing, isn't it? He knows what we need. There was a little boy who was on a storm-tossed sea on a big ship. And he was as calm as could be. And somebody said to him, noticing, because they were worried about because of the storm, somebody said to him, "How come you're not worried? Aren't you afraid?" And this is what he said: "My daddy is the captain, and he knows these waters. And you and I can say, our Heavenly Father is the captain. He knows what's going on as far as your health is concerned, your finances, your family. He knows all about it. And therefore, we don't have to worry." So number one, God offers His children rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Therefore, I shall not want for rest. Number two, God offers His children refreshment. Refreshment. Think of it on a hot day. You've been working, and you go into your home, and somebody comes to you with a nice cold drink. So refreshing. So nice. So wonderful. Whether it's iced tea or whatever it might be, it's refreshing. The Bible says, "He leads me beside the still waters. Therefore, I shall not want for refreshment." The truth is, and I'm understating this, we live in a salty old world. Christians have found that the world does not satisfy. Do you ever notice that no matter how much money people have, they're never satisfied? So many dear people have all kinds of money, they have fame and fortune, and yet, what do? They go to drugs. They go to have pills to help satisfy the longings of their hearts. With smarting eyes and throat and lips parched, we sought for refreshing streams, but there were none in the world. It did not satisfy us. Didn't matter how nice the car was, how beautiful our home was, if we did not have the peace of God and the peace with God, then we were lacking in this refreshment. We need to be led to those streams by someone who knew how it could happen. His name is Jesus. Now, there's something about sheep that makes them afraid of swiftly moving water. Is it not so? Sheep apparently do not like swiftly moving water. And he says here, "He leads me beside the still waters." And our dear Heavenly Father knows how to still the waters for us. What a beautiful picture of the present ministry of our good, our great, and our chief shepherd for us who are the sheep of His pasture. He gives to us, God offers to us, His children, refreshment because He leads us beside the still waters. Sorrow, affliction, heartache and heartbreak are breaking the speed limit in our lives. The streams of our lives are so much, so fast, so rapid for us. It's then that our shepherd comes and He stills the waters of our lives when we constantly recognize the presence of the shepherd. It is known that sheep will not drink unless the water is still. The second thing that this psalm tells us is that God offers His children refreshment. Do you ever notice on the highways that everybody wants to pass everyone? Somebody passed us on a solid line today coming down here. I was going the speed limit and maybe a little tiny bit over. But this guy came up behind us. And he, on a solid line, he passed dangerously, and the car coming towards him was pretty close. And I've noticed over the years that the only reason that people have to pass is often that there's a car in front of them. And I counted one day, a car passed me. And then another car passed him. And then another car passed him. And another car passed him. Four cars passed each other, and they were all going over the speed limit. This is one salty old world, and we need refreshment. God offers his children refreshment. He says, he leads me beside the still waters, therefore I shall not want for refreshment. The third thing that I noticed in this psalm is that God not only offers us rest and refreshment, but he also offers us something we all need, and that is restoration. Listen to these words. He restores my soul. Before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to be restored. That means we need to be forgiven. We need to be brought into fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And those of you who are here today who have trusted Christ know what that's all about. But then after we become Christians, we also get out of fellowship with the Lord. We do things we ought not to do. We go in places we shouldn't be going. And this passage tells us that God offers us restoration. He restores my soul. This is a picture of the Oriental shepherd. He illustrating the spiritual truth of this psalm. Often a sheep gets its head into a juicy tuft of grass, and he moves to another and not looking to see where the shepherd is in flock might be, so he goes astray. Everyone here of us, every one of us, has had that experience, gone astray. I remember when I was at college studying for the ministry, and guess what happened? I went astray. I was going to all the classes. I was taking in the chapels. That's okay. And what happened was I got cold in my heart. And I had a class off. And so I play the accordion. Or at least I play at the accordion. And as long as I'm the only one there, it's okay. And so my wife was working that day at college in South Carolina. And I got my accordion out. And I began to realize that I wasn't close to the Lord. I wasn't really in fellowship with the Lord. I was going to all the classes. I was going to the chapels. I was reading my Bible. But I was not in fellowship with the Lord. And I began to play that song. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And guess what? There was nobody else around, but the tears began to come down my cheeks. And I began to realize that I was out of fellowship with my dear Savior. And that day, I had a revival. God forgave me. God drew me back to himself and put me on fire for him so that I had a burden for lost people. I wanted to pray. I wanted to read his word. Do you know what happened? There was the fulfillment of this scripture. He restores my soul. And that day, my soul was restored. Though I was a Christian, I was living as my Savior, but not as my shepherd. There was another time in my life, too, and this happened previously. I was selling vacuum cleaners. Do you know something? Almost every preacher I know has sold vacuum cleaners. It's an interesting thing. Sometimes it's because you can't get any other job. So I needed the money so I could go to college. I'd been there, and I was needing money. So I was in Lunenburg, and I was trying to sell these. By the way, they're Filter Queen. That's the best vacuum cleaner. You're not supposed to call it a vacuum cleaner, but it was a Filter Queen vacuum cleaner, and I had them, and they were so wonderful, but nobody was buying. So God began to talk to me, and I realized that I was putting the selling of the vacuum cleaners and all these things were getting between myself and the Lord, and I needed to have my soul restored. So what I did, and it happened again. This time I was on a hill looking over into beautiful Lunenburg Harbor. Nova Scotia is wonderful, isn't it? Beautiful province. right up there with you with PEI. I was sitting in my car, my 49 Dodge, and the bills were coming. The bills were coming in, but the money wasn't. So I had a time of when I talked to God and I said, Lord, I realize that I've stepped out of the way. I've gone astray. And I had another hallelujah time there. And then I went down the road and there was a person there who might need a vacuum cleaner. She went to our church. I was pastoring a little church. I went to her, and guess what happened? She needed a vacuum cleaner. She bought this vacuum cleaner, and I remember the price was $294, and you got the case for that, too. And just as I got ready to leave, she said to me, oh, by the way, she said, my sister next door needs one, too. I went over there, and I sold two. That was big money in those days. I got all my bills paid, but what happened was there was a fulfillment of this passage of the Word of God. It wasn't so much that I got the money and that I got to sell the vacuum cleaners and was able to take care of myself, but it was the fact that I came back to a close fellowship with the dear Lord Jesus. Do you have these times in your lives, folks? When you go astray and then the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it might be a message, something you hear on TV, something you read about, or some brother or sister sets a good example for you. And then what happens? The dear Lord Jesus, who loves us so much and forgives us. I'm amazed. You know, I'm 84 years old. And I am amazed at how good and how gracious the dear Lord has been to me. I've made so many mistakes in my life. I've failed Him so many times. And yet every single time when I go back to Him, He forgives me. He takes me back. He loves me. And that's because the Bible says that when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's why we read that God offers His children restoration. He restores my soul. Therefore, I shall not want for restoration. Suddenly, the sheep raises his head to discover the shepherd and flock are nowhere in sight. The sheep stands alone and is afraid. What if a wolf or other predator comes along? But then, over the knoll, the faithful shepherd comes and leads the sheep back to the flock. The sheep has been restored. Sometimes a sheep gets into the habit of going astray, like you and me. But the shepherd comes over the hilltop, and instead of gently and patiently leading the wayward sheep back to the flock, he reaches down and he strikes a blow with a shepherd's crook, breaking the sheep's leg. Strange, eh? You've heard this before. That's what they sometimes do. He then prepares a splint, and he binds up the broken leg, and after that, the sheep has to stay close to the shepherd, who will carry it over rough spots and across mountain streams. The shepherd has restored the sheep. And I want to say to you today, whoever you are, and I don't know what's going on in your life, if you are not reading your Bible regularly, if you're not praying regularly, if you're not trying in some way to share the gospel with people, you know what that means? That means that you're backslidden. And when you get backslidden, you need to come back. The backslider in heart, the Bible says, will be filled with his own ways. And so I urge you today to allow the shepherd to restore your soul. How wonderful to know that even when we go astray, Jesus, the shepherd, is just over the next knoll, watching, seeking, and ready to restore. Because we're told in the New Testament, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you remember the song, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree? You used to sing that a lot. I want to read you the story of that so I don't get it mixed up. This is the background of that song. Two men were traveling on a train. One was so reserved that his companion had difficulty in persuading him to talk about himself. He was, he said, at length a convict returning from 5 years imprisonment in a distant prison. But his people were too poor to visit him and were too uneducated to be very articulate on paper. Hence he had written to them to make a sign for him when he was released and came home. If they wanted him back, they should put a white ribbon in the big apple tree, which stood close to the railroad track at the bottom of the garden, and he would get off the train. But if they did not want him, they were to do nothing, and he would stay on the train and check and seek a new life elsewhere. He said they were nearing his hometown and that he couldn't bear to look. His new friend said that he would look and took his place by the window to watch for the apple tree, which the others described to him. In a minute, he put a hand on his companion's arm, and he said this, "There it is," he cried. "It's all right. The whole tree is white with ribbons." And you know something? That is what Jesus Christ offers to all of us. On the tree called Calvary, he left a ribbon of his own blood, offering restoration for us all. How wonderful it is, folks, to have Christ as our Savior. And I know that most, if not all of us here, do have Christ as our Savior. But how much more wonderful it is to have Christ as our Shepherd, who gives us these promises. He tells us that we need to never be in want for rest, because he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He tells us we never need to be in want of refreshment, because he leads us beside the still waters. And he tells us that we never need to be in want of restoration, because he restores our souls. Some thoughtful person wrote the words which were set to music. Listen to them. And with this, I'm finished. My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain. He sees each care. He understands each lonely heartache. He understands because he cares. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need. I finish today with a question. Is Jesus your Savior? That's wonderful. But is he your Shepherd? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much today for this beautiful psalm and for the truths that are hidden here in its words. Lord, we pray today that you will minister to our hearts. And if there is anyone here today who has never invited Christ into the life and does not have Jesus as Savior, that this might be the day of decision. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today who has set Christ as Savior, but they've strayed away and they're not enjoying you as their Shepherd, Lord, minister to every single one. Please keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed as we end the service today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there somebody here who wants to receive Christ as Savior? I've asked people if they would like to become Christians, and they say, yes, but I don't know how. If you would like to become a Christian, but you don't know how, would you raise your hand right now? And I'll be happy to talk with you, or Pastor Gary will be happy. Just lift your hand up and say, yes, I would like to become a Christian. I want Jesus in my life as my Savior. Anyone? And what about believers who are already Christians? You're saved. But he's not your Shepherd. He's your Savior. If today you're here and God has spoken to you through his word, and you want to have Jesus as your Shepherd, please raise your hand. I want to pray for you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want Jesus as my Shepherd, not just my Savior. God bless you. Yes. Thank you, son. Yeah. I want Jesus as my Shepherd. Father, I pray for this person that you will guide and direct, Lord, and you will become the Shepherd of this person. Minister to others this day too, Lord, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' dear name, amen.